Today's message is the first one on Slaves No More, and I've entitled it "The Dark on a Dark and Cloudy Day." Everybody say "On a Dark and Cloudy Day." Home on that's not home on the range, is it? Right after this service, we're having our annual business meeting. So if you'd like to stay, love for you to stay. We'll do our annual business meeting. Look at the past year and look at the future year coming up. All right, everybody stand up now that you're all comfortable and set just where you want to get set. Come on, stand up a minute. This is the exercise part of the day. Our text today is this. And today I'm going to feel like I'm a surgeon that kind of just opens you up and leaves you because we're going to do this four-part series going to lead us right into Easter. So today you might end up feeling like you're kind of just left open with no what and sort of kinda. But next week and the week after, I really want to encourage you to dedicate yourself coming. I believe God's got some things to say. Let's just read together. It says, as he spoke these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed. Everybody say believed. They believed on him. Here's what he said to them. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you. Now let me just say this again. Truth will never make you free by itself. It's only the truth that you know will set you free. So here's Jesus. Let me look at this. Watch this. Jesus looked at these guys that just said, we believe. They believed. He says, the Jews that believed on Jesus, and when he saw that they believed on him, they looked at him and they said this. He looked at them, rather, and said this. If you continue in my word, and my words continue in you, you abide in them, then you shall know the truth. Then you shall know the truth. What's this? And you shall know the truth. One translation says, then you shall know. What? If you abide in the word, and the word abides in you, then you'll know the truth. That's where you've got to get from your head to your heart. You just cannot have enough if you just simply, do your devotions in the morning, check off your to-do list, say, I did it, read it. It won't change you. It will not make a difference in your life. If that's what you're doing, if that's all you're doing, then you're not abiding in the Word. To abide in the Word means to literally let the Word come alive to you, to where it's alive. You read it in the morning or in the evening, whatever your time is, but then you take it with you. Whether it's on note cards or in your handheld or whatever it may be, you take it with you and you abide in it. The words meditate, the words remember, it's called remembrance. And so during the day, you're meditating, you're remembering the Word of God. And then you'll be set free. You will know the truth, and the truth, you only begin to know the truth when you meditate. Your cow has so many stomachs, the argument continues on. But a cow will eat it, then regurgitate it, eat it again, regurgitate, eat again, regurgitate. That's how it becomes milk. It will never become milk in your life, something you can do, unless you meditate on the Word all day, every day, all day long. It won't happen to you. You'll never, it won't come. So he says, then you shall know, when you meditate, when you abide in the Word, then you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Now, these guys had just gotten saved, just gave their life to the Lord, just believed on Jesus. Here was their response. They answered, where that came from. We are Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? And Jesus said, verily, verily, I say to you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And the servant or slave abides not in the house forever, but the son abides forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be what? All right, this is on a dark and cloudy day. This is no more slaves, no more, number one. Father, we love you today. We ask for your grace and for your mercy. We ask, Lord, that you'd open up our eyes that we can see. Give us understanding. We love you in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Turn around and give somebody a good high five. Would you do that today? Let's give them a good high five in Jesus' name. All right, you can be seated today. I did not say talk, I just said high five. That's exactly what I said. I know exactly what I said. I remember it. All right. They did this. These Jews had believed in Jesus, but he's about to tell them something they didn't know about themselves. Though I think if he'd gone to the core of their being, they would have known it, but he knew something about them that they evidently did not know, and that was that they were slaves. And they didn't believe that. In fact, 31:32, we just read it again. It says, We were Abraham's seed. We've never been enslaved to anybody. And that in itself, just in the physical, is an absolute absurd statement, because not only had they been in bondage to Babylon and Medes and the Persians and the Grecian Empire under Alexander the Great, they were right now under bondage and slaves to Rome under Caesar, was over their land, and the Roman soldiers occupied the land of Israel. They were in bondage and slavery right then and there. I don't know what kind of idea, you know, it's sort of like Baghdad, you know, remember that deal? We're winning, everything is fine, you know, and behind him, all this stuff is going down. Because they're sitting there saying, no, well, we've never been nobody's slave. Well, you've been enslaved, you're in slavery right now, Rome. But then he goes deeper than that, because he literally wasn't talking so much physically as he was spiritually. Listen to what he says. He said to those who believe in him, if you can hear my word, go on to 32, now go on to 33. Go on to the next one there, 33, now go to 34. Jesus said, verily I say to you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And the servant abides not in the house forever, but the Son abides forever. Now you got to get this, because that who the Son sets free is free indeed. And Jesus is talking a deeper meaning. He said, listen, there is a slavery to sin, that if you are hooked back by sin, you're a slave to that sin. And I don't care how many times you say, Jews, that I can quit anytime I want to quit. Well, you haven't quit now, because the thing's got a hold on you. It's just deception. You think you're free from it, but you're not free from it. And so at that moment, they were enslaved. And so he's talking about a spiritual bondage. So my idea was, what if Jesus showed up right now in this place, and he said to all of those that believed in him in this auditorium, if you abide in my words and my words abide in you, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And how many of us would say, I'm American. We don't bondage nobody. And then he would say, but yeah, I'm not talking so much physically as I'm talking about sin. I'm talking about habits. I'm talking about things in your life that have you enslaved. And we would say, how many would say, as deceived as the Jews that day, we're not in bondage. We're not in bondage. No, we can quit anytime we want to quit. How many people would say that we don't have any bondage? And so literally, the question this morning is there anything in your life that's got a hold on you? A stronghold is anything that's got a strong hold on you. I'll quit every time I want to quit. Well, listen, when I gave up soft drinks, about a month ago, let me tell you, the caffeine demon is alive and kicking. Come on, somebody. And I give myself two meals a week to pig out, and today I can't wait till this is finished. I'm going to pig out at lunch, and so it's one of my two meals a week. But what happens is this: when you begin to understand that some things you get yourself into, it's hard to get yourself out of, and you get in some habits, and you get in some bondages and some slavery. And Jesus said, I'm not talking about physically as much as I'm talking about a slave to sin. And you think, I mean, it's this, deep inside you, every one of you know if there's something that you say, you know, nobody else knows about, or maybe a lot of people know about it, but you cannot just get rid of that thing. Now, let me ask this. Look at Romans chapter 8. Listen to what Paul said. We're going to go back to this on the third lesson, because there's some great truths on how you get free by the Spirit. But let me give the struggle. I want to just give you the idea about bondage and slavery. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit of the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind's enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. But so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh. Excuse me, you have a choice here. We are not debtors to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you're going to die. There'll be death in your life, slavery, bondage. But if you through the Spirit, that's the key. We'll come back on the third lesson. If you through the Spirit. It's not you just getting up, I ain't going to do that no more. I ain't going to cuss. I ain't going to cuss no more. I remember one time we were out here doing killing. We cleared this at 3 acres over here. We didn't know there was a pond on it, settling pond. And when we started draining the thing, we just took a sump pump, put it in there, started draining it. It was full of snakes. I mean, snakes everywhere. It looked like one of those, you know, horror movies. So we put a call out. A lot of guys came with their guns, and we were shooting snakes. Those of you that love animals, I know. But we were out there shooting snakes. And I remember one of the deacons was out there with me, and a snake crawled around his leg. Let me tell you, he came out with some things you don't hear in the nursery department, all right? And I was standing right beside him, you know. So there's some things when the pressure's on. That's what's really in you, all right? But if you threw the spirit, because if you say, I made up my mind, I ain't going to do that. Well, that's part of it. But if you do it on your own, you'll be defeated time after time. Through the spirit, we'll talk about it in lesson 3. Do mortify the deeds of the body. That's the only way you'll ever mortify the deeds of the body is through the spirit of God. You shall live. For as many as are led by the spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For if you have not received the spirit of, listen, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Or slavery. But you receive the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And this thing has nothing to do with legalistic junk. It has to do with you understanding that God is your Father. Abba was a term of a young child would do toward its father. Abba, Father. And Abba. And literally, that is what frees you. That's what brings you into liberty. It hasn't got no rules and regulations and learning this and that. It's coming into a relationship with God to the point you feel like His child and He is your Father. Come on, somebody. We'll talk about that in number 3. So, a Christian, now look at verse, we got that. All right, so can a Christian become in bondage again? Absolutely. You can get in the bondage of fear again. You can get in the bondage slavery of sins again, the slavery of the flesh. And so we'll talk about that. Next week, we're going to talk about two of the biggest issues that I believe trouble people today. And we'll talk about that next week. Now, first I want to show you, though, before we go into all that next few lessons, I just want to do an introduction. It's kind of just split you open today. And that's basically what I'm going to do and leave you there. And I understand that, but I'll give you some homework. Because what I want you to do this week is I want you to abide in the Word this week. Because, listen, unless my words are the Word of God, it won't do you no good. I can go on, Dr. Phil and Oprah and the rest of them can give you advice all day long, but unless it's according to the Word of God, it's just man's advice. It's our ideas, because you can get one group over here, one group over here, one group over there, they'll give me all kinds. Get in the Word of God and abide. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you will know the truth, and the truth that you know will set you free. So because no two slaveries are alike. No two slaveries are the same thing. Because what got you into slavery hasn't got what got me into slavery. And one of the things that doctors normally do, a while back I had something and I was taking Jasmine's medicine. You know, doctors frown on that, right? Doctors normally frown on you taking somebody else's medicine. So I was taking Jasmine's, and then what I was having was getting worse. And so finally I had enough. I just went, I said, Doc, I said, I'm having this problem. And he said, well, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm taking, I brought Jasmine's pills. I said, I'm taking this. He said, that feeds that thing. Come on, somebody. That feeds that thing. And so no wonder it was. So don't take somebody else's medicine from now. Just take your own medicine. One time I was taking medicine, and man, I was getting hungry. And it was my medicine. I kept taking it. And then I looked there, and I saw I mixed bottles up. It was my dog's medicine. Come on, somebody. Felt like I wanted to take a bite out of crime, you know, something like that. You know, one of the things about bondage and slavery is you really become very emotional in that. Kind of different ways, depends on the person. But, you know, until you get your emotions under control, you're really not under control. I remember there was a golfer one time, I read his book, you know what he said? He said, it took me 15 years to get my golf swing under control. He said, it took me 30 years to get my mood swings under control. See, our perception, and listen, we are a product of our past. We're a product of our life. We're not just sitting here brand new, shiny penny, just minted. And, oh, everybody in here, you're a product of your life, how you grew up. You know, many of you, remember the woman that, she got married and her mother-in-law was cook. She wanted to learn how to cook, never cooked, and she went to her mother-in-law. And she watched her mother-in-law. She'd cut this end of the ham off and that end of the ham off, and she put it in the oven. And finally said, why do you do that? Why do you cut the ham like that? I want to learn how to cook. She said, well, I know my mama did it. So she went to this woman's mom and found out, well, the reason I do it is, God, we had a little bitty oven and the ham wouldn't fit in the oven when we grew up. So we had to cut the ham off the oven. So some of us are just products of our, we're just products of our experience. So when you do that, our reactions to present situations are determined by your past experiences. You know, sometimes people can really just explode and you don't know why. And what did I do? You know, it's like if you went and laid hands on somebody's back and you didn't know they'd been to Florida and they were burnt to a crisp and sunburned and just barely touching them threw them into a, a reaction that was abnormal for what you did. You just laid your hands on them. So we are a product of our life experiences, and that really determines many times our response to current problems and things that we do. And so it can be distorted by past hurts. The present can be. And so the extent that we react violently to something conclude that we're bound by some past emotional or physical experience of our life. So when we understand that people have been bruised in their emotions, and there are things here, I want you to see this, because in Luke chapter 4, here is Jesus. And listen what he says. He goes to Nazareth and he takes the scroll and he opens it up. And they're reading the book of Isaiah. He quotes this out of the book of Isaiah. And here's what he said. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives." And I love this next thing. "Recovering of sight to the blind." And watch this. "To set at," everybody say the next word, "liberty to them that are" what? "Bruised." And that's an amazing two words to put together, liberty and bruising. And you would think, you almost think that he would say, he's anointing me to heal those that are bruised. But literally, it says, to set at liberty those that are bruised. And because bruises bind you. Bruises bring you into slavery. Sin is not the only occasion that the enemy can get someone bound. It can be bound by bruising of your life and all that takes place. And then I love this, because after he said that, then he said to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. So what does that mean? He quotes this out of the book of Isaiah. And Isaiah is referring in this passage to Leviticus chapter 25. Look at this. The acceptable year. What does that mean, the acceptable year? It was what was called the year of Jubilee. It happened every 50 years. 49 years passed, and then they blew a trumpet, and they got into what was called the Year of Jubilee. And I think we ought to reinstitute this in America. It would really be great. Here's what it says. "Thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee, 7 times 7 years. And the space of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto you 49 years. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee," everybody say Jubilee, "to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. In the Day of Atonement shall you make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. And you shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty." Everybody say liberty again. Remember, this is what Jesus is saying. I've come to preach the gospel to the poor, heal the sick, heal the broken heart, and also to set at liberty they that are bruised. And this is the acceptable year of the Lord. And here's what he meant. "You shall hallow the 50th year, proclaim liberty through all the land unto the inhabitants thereof." Next scripture. "It shall be a jubilee unto you. You shall return every man unto his possessions. And you shall return every man unto his family." Literally means this. That if you got yourself into bondage, what they could do is during the year, if they got in trouble and got out of money, they could sell themselves off as a slave. Knowing that if the jubilee year was close to it, they would get freed in the 50th year. Now, if you did it on year number one, you got a long way ahead of you. But they did it according to, and many times when they did this, they did it according to the year of jubilee. That's how they prorated it. They prorated things back in that day. In fact, Leviticus says prorate it according to the years to the jubilee. And so Jesus stands that day in Nazareth and he says, God has called me, he's anointed me. One of the ministries I'm going to do is I'm going to set at liberty everybody that's been bruised. Because bruises bind. Because this is the acceptable year. What does that mean? I'm letting all those in bondage and slavery are going to be set free under my ministry. And that's why he looked at the Jews and said, "Abide in my word and abide in me and my words abide in you. You shall know the truth and the truth will set you free. For whom the Son sets free is free indeed." So I want to do this today. I want to just look at some bruises, and we're going to open you up, and then we're going to pray at the end, and then we're going to come back really next week and the week after to really pray and see the Lord do some things. The bruises of life. I want to talk about that just a little bit. The prime intention of the devil and the enemy is to bruise every person that ever comes in the earth. One of the primary things the devil wants to do is to bruise every person that comes into the world. That's his goal. The purpose becomes evident. You see it. The bruises take place in the destructive life, in the life of a person. Look what it says of him in Genesis chapter 3. The Lord comes on the scene. He deals with Adam. He deals with Eve. And then he comes and he deals with the snake or the serpent. And that's, you know, the serpent was a typology. Beautiful types in the Old Testament. It was a type. I believe it was a literal snake, but I believe it was Satan in the snake doing all this because the snake was talking. And Adam didn't say, look here, oh, a talking snake. You know, I think the animals talked in the garden, and that's my own opinion. It says, the Lord God said unto the serpent, because you've done this, you're cursed above all cattle. Above every beast of the field, upon your belly, I believe it had legs in the beginning, it didn't have legs anymore, shalt thou go, your dust shall ye eat all the days of your life. When a snake sticks its tongue out, one of the things it's doing is it's picking up dust particles to see if stuff is doing. And one of the keys I do is this, the Bible says, from dust you are and dust you shall return. And when you stir up the flesh in your body, this and the devil is seeking whom he may devour. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between your seed and her seed. It shall bruise your head. But notice the prophetic word to the devil, what he's going to be doing. You're going to bruise his heel. The seed of the woman, not only the seed, but all seed of the woman. One of the main things the devil wants to do is bruise it. Bruise the seed of the woman. It's there. And so it's a purpose of Satan to bruise, and it was prophesied in the very beginning. Now, it's a work of the enemy. Now, watch this. Jesus himself was bruised. When Isaiah 53, listen to this. Listen to how it describes. Who hath believed our report, to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He'll grow up before him as a tender plant. You know, sin always hardens. When you've never sinned, if you say tender, as a root out of dry ground, he hath no form or comeliness, and when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men. He came into his own, and his own received him not. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Now watch this. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was what? He was bruised for our iniquity. Chastisement of our peace was upon him. Jesus was bruised. Physically, the Bible says when they took him into the court and they arrested him that day, they took him to Pilate's soldiers. And they literally, I've been to the spot, they had the literal pavement where they've got what they played was called the Game of the Kings, where they would dress a prisoner up like a king. And then they would literally, those soldiers, those massive soldiers, would literally just brutalize them with their fist. And when you read the Gospels, Jesus literally was plummeted by these guys. They hit him. They struck him. They punched him. When he came to the cross, not only because of the cat of nine tails and how he'd been beaten with that, he literally was bruised from one inch of his body to, he was black and blue. Isaiah says, his visage was so marred, he did not even look like a man. He was swollen, he was bruised, he was beaten by these guys. The Bible says he was bruised for our, not only physically, but spirit. He came into his own. He, at the Last Supper, he told Judas, what you do quickly. What did he do that? Just to get it over? No, because it was weighing on him so strong. You read it. The Bible says he over and over again, he would say to them, there was pressure on him. He said, because one of you are about to betray me. Psalms 49, it says, if it had been a stranger, I could have taken it. But it was you, my familiar friend. He told Judas when he came in the garden, are you betraying me with a kiss? You betray the Son of Man with a kiss. And you know this, when he was arrested, do you know him? No. Do you know him? No. Do you know him? No, I don't know him, Peter said. And the Bible says in Luke, it says, he turned and looked at Peter. Bruise, it's the emotional bruising. You name it. He was bruised for our iniquity. And I ask you this morning, do you think Jesus understands? Absolutely. But you know the good thing about him was he came to set at liberty everybody that's bruised. He said, the Spirit of God is upon me. And I have come to set at liberty. You know why? Because bruises bind you to the one who hurt you. Bruises, go ahead and put that up. Bruises bind you. If you've got your outline, bruises bind you to the one that hurt you. I read a while back, it was a dad that his 18-year-old daughter was run over by a young boy. And at the court hearing, at the sentencing, the dad spoke. And he said, I want to ask the judge for one thing in addition to everything else going to be done. I want to ask the judge for one more thing. I want to ask the judge that this guy paid me back $216. The courtroom just, you know, people had been talking a bit, but the courtroom just silenced. And the judge said, excuse me? He said, yeah, I want you to put in judgment on me. I want him to pay me $216. And he just said, well, what are you talking about? He said, what? He said, I think it was on the 14th, the day of the month when the girl was killed. He said, I want for the next 18, she was 18, I want for the next 18 years, I want him to bring me $1 on the 14th of every month for the next 18 years. And the judge ordered it. Let me ask you something. You think that guy was bound to that situation? You think he was bound to that bruise? You think he got over that thing in a year, 2 years, every year, having that boy bring him $1? And I'm going to tell you something, because bruises bind you. One of the ways they used to administer justice in some of the old countries was literally, if you murdered somebody, they literally handcuffed the body to you. And I mean, it was unbelievable. So bruises bind. And second thing is, bruises bind us to the bitterness of the hurt. You'll never get over the bitterness if you're bound to it. Bruises bind you. Third thing is, bruises bind us from loving and receiving love. So the hardest thing is to believe somebody can love you if you've been really bruised in your life. If you've been bruised and everything's gone on. Listen, some of the deepest hurts that you'll ever experience, you experience as a child. That doesn't necessarily stay there. You can get bruised all through your life, and we do. But some of the deepest hurts you will ever go through in your life is a child. Sin is not always the occasion whereby the devil occupies a place in your life. It can happen through bruising. Let me give you a couple examples here. Satan, the enemy knows how to bruise a child and cripple a person by, an innocent children can be a prime target. Even before you are born, you can be bruised. Did you know in a baby, one of my relatives, she had a long and hard pregnancy. And so she would get our tapes and she would play our tapes all the time. And so she played our tapes continually. And I remember the first time I met this baby, when I said something, this baby's head turned and looked at me. Because he'd been hearing my voice so much during the day. And because John the Baptist leaped in his mother's womb, they're alive. Babies are alive. Babies can receive things before they're ever born. And we prayed with people before. They'd been bruised before they were ever born. Fear can come in as a child. Rejection can come in. Listen, a rejected child will grow up unable to love and receive love. And a child that's been, rejected or abused, many times withdrawing fear and all. Now, let me give you a couple things. Problems is that the deepest problems is that you suppress it many times. You know, when parents divorce, and I know numbers have been through that, and you've redeemed, and the Lord's done great things for you. But what happens in a child's life when a parent divorces? It is better that a parent were to die than divorce on a child. Let me tell you why. Because a child does not have the ability many times to place blame correctly. They don't know why. And many children, young children, blame themselves for the divorce. Man, we hadn't been bad. If we'd been so bad, mom and daddy wouldn't have never. If I'd not been so bad. And many times the enemy takes an occasion, which you had no control over. You've been through it. Many of you had no control over it. But what the enemy does, he takes occasions by that to come in and try to wound you or wound your children. And many times they'll come in and there'll be a wound deep in your heart that literally, because they don't have the ability to assess blame correctly. It doesn't make sense. A child would never do that. Why would a child ever think that? Because they're children. They don't know. And so literally what happens is it will come out of that as a deep hurt of insecurity and rejection. And it's a deep bruise, and there'll be symptoms of fear, anxiety, striving, spirit that's not easily quieted, worthless feelings. But the root is insecurity and fear. We'll talk about it in the next few lessons. I'm just opening up today. Because what I want to ask you to do this week is abide in the Word. Just get in the Word. Abide in Him. Not just the Word, but the author of the Word. Abide in Him. Another thing is that words are that have been spoken over you or your children. One of the worst things to ever do is in anger say things to your children that you wish would never said. Stupid. You're never going to mount. Why don't you like your brother? Why don't you like him? What's wrong with you? You're an idiot. I don't know why I ever brought you in the world. And those things that come in can wound a child. Because I'm going to tell you, Jazz had to get on me because I have fun with my grandkids. And sometimes I'll just, I love making up stories. Thumbelina and what's up. This or that, or that. And they say, you better watch because those kids believe everything you say. So now I tell them, you're Metz Baba. I'm Metz Baba. Metz means big. I'm big Baba. Baba means daddy. I'm big daddy. But I tell them, Metz Baba is the best. He's your best person in all the world. He loves you. And I tell them all the time, Miss Baba loves you. The other day, Jasmine said, who loves you? She's trying to get Jesus loves Elijah. She said, who loves you, Elijah? Elijah went, Miss Baba. Come on, somebody. I'm getting this thing down. Right? So there are things that produce deep wounds in you. Sexual abuse. Think about sexual abuse. If you've been abused sexually or a child has been, here's what happens. A young girl that's been abused sexually, here's what she'll go through. Here's the confusion in her life. She'll have thoughts of lust in her life, at the same time, repulsion of men. And that'll just go back and forth. And how do you deal with that? Because it's a deep bruise. Isn't it good that Jesus came to set at liberty them that are bruised? We'll talk about it in the next few lessons. Physical abuse. Results would be fear, withdrawing, outbursts of anger all of a sudden, then abuse. All of this stuff, bruises can happen, not just to children, it can happen to adults and all the things that we go through, betrayed by somebody, rejected by somebody, on and on. But here's a good thing, in Malachi chapter 4, verse 2 says, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. In Lord of the Rings, J.R. Tolkien, was a Christian, and he likened and took many of the Bible truths. And one of the Bible truths that he took was that the king, that the guy that he was a ranger, Strider, that was become the king eventually. But throughout, it was always known, in the hands of the king or the hands of a healer. The hands of the king are the hands of a healer. And really, because that's what Jesus, the hands of the king is the hands of a healer. He's not just Christ the King. He's not just Jesus the Messiah. He's the healer. In the hands of the King are the hands of a healer. And Jesus comes on the scene and he says this, For the Spirit of God is upon me to heal broken hearts, but to set at liberty them that have been bruised in life. And whatever bruise you've been through, whatever bruises you've been, listen, many marriage problems come from emotional bruises. Of things that happen in their life. You don't come into your marriage without any baggage. All of us brought baggage. Now, mine was just, of course, a handbag. No, all of us bring baggage, all right? And maturity comes through relationships. So one of the purposes of bruises is so that you can't get in a relationship. Because the Bible tells very plainly about relationships where maturity comes through. I pastored this church 7 years single, as a single guy. And I'm going to tell you how mature I was. I'm going to tell you, I went home, there was no disagreeing what we were going to eat. There was no disagreeing what time we went to bed. There was no disagreeing on where we were going to go on our vacation. There was no disagreeing on nothing. There was no disagreeing on how we spent our money because it was just me. But then we got married. Come on, somebody. Where'd that money go? And see, many times the issue is really not the issue because God's just using that issue to open up some things in you. Just the thought. There we go. All right. We're almost done. Okay. Look at this. In Luke chapter 4, verse 18, Jesus said again, Spirit of God's upon me. It's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, recovering the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Last week, I saw something I'd never, ever, ever seen. Read it? Oh, I've read the Bible through countless times. But I saw something last week in it, because there's typologies and pictures that you never realize are in the Bible. That day that Jesus walked with the two on the road to Emmaus, and it says, they said, don't you know what happened to Jesus? And the Bible says he took the Bible, beginning with the law and the Moses and the prophets, opened it up and began to tell them everything concerning himself. Oh, man, I'd like to have a transcript of that. Just a tape recording or a DVD. Because some of the things all through the law and the prophets are pictures of Jesus. And in Ezekiel chapter 34 is literally one I'd never seen before in my life. I knew Ezekiel 34, 35, 36. All of that has to do with the Messiah. I knew that. It was a coming. That's the portion where you read it says, I'll take out of you the stony heart and put it within your heart of flesh. No man will have to teach you. Every man will know the Lord. It was a new covenant. But there was some in there, there was a portion I'd never read, never saw before until last week, and grabbed it. And it's a story, it's the portion about the shepherd, the good shepherd. And Jesus stood on the scene and said, I am the good shepherd. And notice what it says, Ezekiel 34. Thus says the Lord God, behold, even I will both search my sheep, and I will seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock, in the day that he is among his sheep, that's see him walking among on the shores of Galilee, that he is among his sheep, they are scattered. So I will seek out my sheep, and I will deliver them. Everybody say deliver. The only way we were ever delivered was on the cross. But watch what it says here. I will deliver them out of all the places where they have been scattered in the cloudy, dark day. What does that do? What's that about? We'll look at Luke. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a what? There was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus cried in a loud voice, he gave, Father, in thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said it, he gave up the ghost. Okay, put everything aside right now, would you? You know, there is... It was a dark and cloudy day that day. That is how he brought about the healing for me and you. And the reason we can be healed from all of our bruises, the reason he can set us free in liberty from all of our bruises, is because of what he did on the cross. It made the new and the living way that you can go into the presence of God now. You can go and say, Abba, Father. I could never say that before. But now because of that, just close your eyes just for a second. I was doing this this week. I read that verse in an old song. I used to lead this in worship years ago. It was called, and I remember a phrase out of one of the verses says, "On a dark and cloudy day, a man hung crying in the rain." And so, Lord, right now, I just pray. Maybe people in here this morning, this is their dark and cloudy day. Maybe it's a season of their life. It's a dark and cloudy season, and they need you, Lord, to come in and do something that only you can do. That by the Spirit of God, we can mortify the deeds. By the Spirit of God, you can stretch out your hand one more time and heal everyone. Set at liberty everyone that has been bruised. And what the devil meant for evil, turn for good. And what was meant to keep us from each other, bring healing in our praise. We ask it in Jesus' name. Watch this little video that we're going to pray and end tonight. Or today. It's not... some rules and regulations. It's not being good, being bad one day and start being good. It's not none of that stuff. It has to do with a God that created you and made you. And that all he wants a relationship with you. He wants you to be able to call him dad and he to be able to call you his child. He loves you with, I can tell you how much God so loved you that he gave up his only son. And those of you that has a child, it was no different for him, but he gave his only son. That's how much he loved you, because he knew there was no other way. There was no other way to save us and no other way to save you. And if you're the only person here, we say it over and over, he would do it for you. So this morning, maybe you're here. Maybe you've never really stepped across that great divide. Maybe you've never really ever just said, hey, God, I am sorry for all I've done. I'm empty inside. I want to do good. I want to be a good dad, mom. I want to be a good son, daughter. I really do. But today, Lord, I need you to help me because I can't do it on my own. I've tried and thought about doing it, but I just know I just never can do it. A leper can never change his spots, but God can change you from the inside out. And so this morning what he wants to do is not just tell you stop doing bad things and start doing good things. He wants to come inside of you to help you. He wants to come inside of you literally by his Spirit, come inside of you and live and change your wants and change your desires. And then begin the healing process. It will take a season of time, but he will do it. So maybe that's you. And I want to maybe you don't know how to pray. You've never done it, but I was going to pray. I want everybody to pray with us. And if that's you, you pray along with us, and you mean that from your heart, and you just ask him. The Bible says, if you pray and you call upon the name of the Lord, he listens. So pray with me. Say, Dear God, today I ask you to forgive me of all I've done wrong. I am empty inside. And I want you come into my life. I surrender everything. Cleanse me. Redeem me. Begin healing me of all the bruises of my life. So I won't pass them on to the next generation. I want to be a good dad. I want to be a good mom. I want to be a good grandfather. I want to be a good grandmother. Father, we ask that in Jesus' name this morning. Every head still bowed, closed. Let me ask you to do this. Hey, maybe you're here and we just sort of got cut open today. But we're going to listen next couple weeks. If you'll just listen this week, get in the Word. Abide in Him and abide in His Word. Just go close to Him. He's the great doctor. And the greatest thing about going to a doctor is I don't have to go in there with my encyclopedia and tell the doctor exactly everything that's wrong with me and the technical words and terms. And I just have to go and say, Doc, it hurts, and it hurts right here. I don't know, it hurts like this. And the Bible says he is the great physician with healing in his hands. And all you have to do is go to Jesus. It hurts right here. Jesus, I remember the words that were said. I remember what was done, Lord Jesus. I remember what was done to me back when. I remember, Lord, and you go to him, and you don't have to have the cure. You don't have to have how it works. You just go to him. He's the doctor. And he'll stretch out his hand because he said, I've been anointed for this. I was made for this. I was made to heal you. But he is a gentleman, just like any doctor. He's not going to bust down your door, go in there, and you've got to come to him. All that come unto him, he'll in no wise cast out. So this morning, Jesus, we just look to you because you're the doctor. You're the physician. You're the healer. We thank you, Lord, for every person in here that's got a desire, wants to be set free, liberty in the house. We pray for this being an acceptable year of the Lord, the year of Jubilee. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. Can you give them a good clap offering today? Would you do that? God bless you. We'll see you next Sunday.